I'm Dr. K. I'm a psychologist at the Jagiellonian University, and I'd like to welcome to the Ab Ovo podcast. Join me as we explore psychology from the ground up, delving into its scientific and practical aspects, from therapy to everyday well-being. So let's unravel the mysteries of the mind together. Let's begin. Folie à deux is not only a title of a second part of the Joker movie, it's also an extremely interesting psychotic disorder which still remains relatively mysterious to us. Folie à deux translates to madness of two, and the history of this disorder is not entirely clear, but one of the first mentions of this condition describes the case of two sisters, both of whom believed that they felt the movement of a child, and both of whom presented a phantom pregnancy. And this case directly and quite clearly depicts folie à deux, which is also referred to as communicated psychosis or induced delusional disorder. And usually there is one person who shows the symptoms first. For example, the first person has delusions that someone is stalking them or that their husband or wife is cheating on them. And after some time, another person shows the same delusions or shares the same delusions. And to briefly explain what delusions are, they are fixed beliefs which are not based on reality, and they are typically resistant to rational argument. So delusions can be bizarre. You don't have to be, but they can be bizarre. And they persist even when contradicted by reality. So normally, if you contradict someone with the clear evidence that their beliefs are not correct, so this person, they don't have to believe you right away, but they will at least take a moment to think about it. But when people show symptoms of delusions, they will not only completely reject your evidence, but they will also include you in their delusions. So, for example, if you tell someone that it's not possible that aliens took over the Earth and they are now walking on the streets, the person, instead of thinking that, okay, maybe you are right, this person will include you in their delusions. So this person will tell that you are one of the aliens. So they are usually not, it's not possible to contradict delusions by any real evidence. And delusions are sometimes difficult to recognize at first, especially when they are not bizarre, because when someone tells you that they see worms crawling underneath their skin every morning, you might feel that something is not right with this person, and you will be alarmed from the very beginning. But when someone tells you that they are convinced that their spouse is cheating, this is not bizarre at all. Well, this actually might happen, so this is not something that alerts you right away. And communicated psychosis can be distinguished into four subtypes: A, B, C, and D. And subtype A is diagnosed when an older or more dominant person imposes their delusions on someone younger and someone more submissive. So the most common situation is when a mother imposes her delusions on children. And I remember the case of a woman who was convinced that her husband was a devil and that he was trying to kill her by feeding her poisoned food. And this woman has been treated before, so she's been prescribed antipsychotic drugs, but she probably stopped taking them. I'm not sure what happened, but the fact is that she started having delusions back again. But so to avoid death, this woman locked herself in the attic, and she ate food that she only ate food that was brought by her children. She had two children, and they were the only people she trusted. And the teenage children obviously knew that the mother was sick, and they just tried to convince her to get professional help. And to do so, they were spending time with her at the attic. They were talking to her. They tried to somehow convince her to go to the doctor. But unfortunately, after a few weeks, the children started having similar symptoms. And they first started to avoid the father. They started to spend more and more time in the attic. And finally, they locked themselves in the attic with the mother. And because they also didn't want to eat food that was brought by the father, so the condition were deteriorating, and the father just called the police and called an ambulance, and they had to be hospitalized against their will. But luckily, in the subtype A, delusions imposed on younger individuals disappear after the separation. So once the children were separated from the mother, they, after a few days, they were okay. So they did not require long-term therapy. Well, contrary to the mother, of course, who developed full psychosis, and she needed more time to recover. So that's subtype A. The subtype B, in this subtype, the delusions appear simultaneously in two individuals. So there is no dominant and submissive person, but in this subtype, they are both on the same level. But there's one condition: they must be intimately associated, and they must have a deep emotional relationship. So the case with two sisters, both of whom had symptoms of phantom pregnancy, would fall into this subtype. Subtype B. The penultimate subtype, the C, describes a situation in which a person maintains resistance to communicate psychosis for a long time, and this person is developing the shared symptoms much later in time. So, for example, if you think about an adult daughter who's taking care of her parent, and the parent has a developed psychosis, and the daughter is perfectly aware that the parent's symptoms are the result of the disease. She knows that delusions are just delusions, and no matter how convincing this parent is, she knows it's the result of the condition. And this lasts a long time, so this can last a week or months. But after some time, the symptoms start to occur in the daughter. So much later than in subtypes A or B, but still the symptoms start to occur in the imposed person. However, in this type, so in subtype C, the symptoms persist even after separation. So the person, not only inducer, but also the induced person, requires professional help or professional psychiatric assistance and antipsychotic medications to come back to normal life. And the final type is type D, which describes new delusions that are adopted by someone who already has psychosis. And that someone must be under the influence of another individual with psychosis. So as you can imagine, this can almost exclusively happen at the psychiatric wards. And I say almost exclusively because, of course, when we have two people with psychosis within the family, this can also happen. But much more often it happens at the psychiatric wards, where two or even more individuals with psychosis have a chance to meet. So for instance, one person has delusions about other people hearing their thoughts, and this is one of the most common type of delusions that you can imagine. So other people can hear my thoughts. And the other person with psychosis has delusions about people being in fact robots who have overtaken humankind. And when these two delusions overlap, for example, the person not only thinks that people are not people, but people are robots, but they can also hear their thoughts, we can say that this is the symptom of subtype D. So these are four subtypes of folie à deux. And usually, communicated psychosis is shared by two, sometimes it can be shared by three people. However, it is believed that very rarely, not never, but very rarely, it can affect the whole group. So in the scientific literature, you can find mentions about the People's Temple cult. That was a para-religious movement established by the Reverend Jim Jones. He was a very charismatic leader, and he led over 900 people to commit mass suicide in the late 70s. And the followers of this guy believed that the leader was the chosen savior, and they believed that by taking their own lives, they would transcend to another planet with him, where they would enjoy everlasting happiness. So that was one of the most extreme examples of folie à deux, or the madness of many people. So now the folie à deux phenomenon is not very well researched, but from the data we have, we can say that there is no gender difference in the case of this condition. But we also know that isolation can be one of the risk factors that can trigger the occurrence of shared psychosis. So the researcher, the Nunez and colleagues, they analyzed how COVID-19 and quarantine in particular could impact this disorder. And they described the case of a middle-aged patient who believed his neighbors were sending electrical shocks to his brain and his heart, causing palpitations, headaches, and a shocking sensation. And the delusion started after he had been diagnosed with COVID. So the patient's father avoided contact with his son to avoid transmitting or catching COVID. But the patient's mother isolated herself with her son, so with this guy who showed symptoms of psychosis. And after some time, after a few days, she started experiencing similar delusions as her son. And after several weeks of these delusions, she tried to report her neighbors to the police, but instead, she and her son were brought to the emergency department. So the police got the call, and they realized that something is strange about this report, because she was talking about these electric shocks that the neighbors were supposed to send to her brain and her heart. So the police got alerted, and they came to take her and the son to the emergency department. And despite police investigation finding no evidence to support its claims, this woman remained convinced that her neighbors were sending harmful electrical waves to their bodies. And in contrast, of course, the father did not share these beliefs, because he didn't spend time in isolation with these two people. And since the onset of their delusions, they both have been able to maintain their daily activities. They kept their hygiene on a very well level. They kept their appetite. But the only thing they have actually changed was they decided to sleep outside their bedrooms with tin foil coverings to protect themselves from the perceived threat of transmitted electrical waves. So, as you can see, if a person keeps their daily activity on a relatively same level, go to work, eat normally, go shopping, and so on. Just like these people, they were living normal lives. The only thing that alerted the police and the father was the call. So that was the final step of their delusions. So, well, which could be super difficult to spot. So it's easier when someone shares them explicitly with us, just like hearing about neighbors sending harmful electrical waves. This would definitely trigger our reaction. And because this woman explicitly shared these delusions, so she called the police to report the neighbors, they were able to react anyhow. But some patients keep their beliefs to themselves, and only when they start to behave in a bizarre way, or they skip work, or stop picking up their phones, this is the moment we can see their mental health is declining. But this often means that delusions and psychosis are completely developed, and their condition is very serious. And folie à deux is severely under research, so the mechanism and causes are not established. But Lazarus, the guy who focused his research on this phenomenon, underlines that two risk factors can be identified. And the first one is emotional intimate relationship between the inducer and the affected person. And the second is genetic predisposition to psychosis. So this suggests that induced psychosis would occur not only, of course, but more often within the families. It's very rare to happen between random people. And of course, the therapy. The therapy must be tailored to the individual, so it's not possible to say that one type of therapy it's not a fit for all type of therapy. It's also not a group of medications that would be effective in all patients. But the literature says that the number one step in therapy for shared psychotic disorder is the separation of two affected individuals. So remember that in subtype C, this might not be helpful as much as in other types, but this is always number one in therapy. And after the separation, the psychosis immediately softens. So the state of the induced or the affected person gets better. And further intervention involves pharmacotherapy, usually antipsychotic drugs, which alleviate the delusions, and sometimes additional drugs to, for example, lower depression or to lower anxiety, of course, if those occur. And pharmacotherapy is usually very effective. But for some individuals, it takes less time and they may notice a gradual reduction. And for others, the improvement may be more sudden. But it depends on people. It depends on the psychosis itself. It depends, of course, on other symptoms. And sometimes adjustments to the dosage or type of medication may be necessary because some patients are resistant to some kind of drugs or some group of drugs. So adjustments may be necessary, but usually there is at least one type of medications that would work in every patient. So to desire the therapeutic response, it takes usually several weeks. But in general, the antipsychotic treatment is effective, and with appropriate support from the psychotherapist, from the family, these patients are coming back to normal functioning really soon. And I hope you found this episode interesting. Thank you for listening, and until next time.